Thanks, Mark. Before I get started, I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Zakiya Leggett, who, like myself, is a sustainability scientist with Weyerhaeuser, and Jose Zerpa, who did most of his PhD research on this project as part of a special study with the Forest Nutrition Co-op, now known as the Forest Productivity Co-op. So today I'm going to present some information on a young organic matter manipulation study that we have in the lower coastal plain of North Carolina. So a little bit of background information on this organic matter retention study. It's located, as I mentioned, in lower coastal plain. It occurs on moderately well-drained loamy soils. The previous stand was intensively managed loblolly pine stand. It had two commercial thinnings. It had multiple N and P fertilizations. At the time of harvest, there was about 250 to 300 stems of predominantly saw timber extracted from the site. And during this period, the forest floor accumulated about 16,000 kilograms per hectare of total forest floor mass, with about 8 megagrams of carbon and 160 kilograms of nitrogen. For those who may not be familiar with eastern North Carolina, it's just north of New Bern, right here on the low terrace on the lower coastal plain. So it's the first soil formation coming out of the Atlantic. So they're relatively young soils compared to the rest of the lower coastal plain. So as far as treatments, it was designed as a randomized complete block design study with 5 replications. The control treatment, we basically retained the entire forest floor, whereas on the removed treatment, we took that material and basically added it to create the double treatment. And then also we had a no-till or till treatment where we took that material and mixed it into about 20 centimeters at depth. So even on the removed treatment, we still came in and tilled and basically incorporated or mixed up that A horizon. So here's what the forest floor treatments look like. And again, the design of this study was to isolate forest floor effects. As you can see on the removed treatment, it's pretty much everything was removed. You have just bare mineral soil, whereas on the right-hand side, on the double treatment, you have a pretty thick forest floor. So you can also think of it in terms of intensive biomass removal. Here on the left in the removed treatment, that would be as clean as you ever could get a site, probably not economically, obviously. Whereas on the double, it's still a pretty clean site. All the coarse woody debris and fine woody debris has been removed. So that's just another perspective we can look at this study on. As far as the mixing treatment, again, we just came in with a tractor and plowed in the forest floor or mixed the A horizon in regards to the removed treatments. So the objectives of this study, the first objective was to determine the effects of post-harvest forest floor retention and tillage on forest floor decomposition rates, looking at carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus, mineral soil nutrient pools, so total carbon and available carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus pools. We also looked at microbial biomass carbon and phosphorus and how all this affected tree growth. So the results, predominantly from Jose's research, we saw that the forest floor decomposed at the same rate regardless of the initial mass retained. So we saw an increase in mineral soil total and available carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus pools, as well as microbial carbon and phosphorus pools. We did begin to see a significant tillage effect, so the incorporation of that forest floor into the mineral soil did have a significant effect on tree growth. The second objective of this study was to determine the influence of labile carbon availability on post-harvest extractable end dynamics. So we've all seen these, we've seen the slide on the left many times. This is the nitrogen release patterns during stand development. So as we harvest a stand, we typically have an increase in end availability that exceeds the demand of the stand, since we have lots of small trees with not poorly developed, but small rooting systems. So oftentimes the supply exceeds the demand. So the idea with the double treatment was we could basically delay that demand to have better synchronicity with supply, or the other way around, to have better synchronicity with supply in terms of plant demand. So almost like a delayed fertilizer effect. So we looked at extractable nitrogen from the A horizon. Here on the top we had the removed treatments, and then here on the bottom we had the double treatments. And you can see, at least initially during the first 29 months, we saw that there was a slight delay in terms of in supply in the double treatment versus the removed, and we did see that these effects were significant by forest floor and by tillage through time. And it's also important to note the scale, although it's only 29 months when we established the site, it was almost designed like a small scale study. So the number of trees in the plot was equivalent of about 2,000 stems per hectare. So even though it's 15 to 29 months as far as stand development is concerned, it probably resembles a little bit later in stand development since there were so many trees per unit area. So as far as recent developments, which I'll focus on this study, this is some of the newer directions that we've taken this study towards. We decided to go ahead and thin this study in the March of 2009. So this bottom photo here shows what the site looked like. So we wanted to thin the stand to represent more of an operational stocking level. Typically, we plant our stands in the southeast around 436 trees per acre. This is about 550 trees per acre equivalents. So we measured the pre and post thin DBH and height, and we also collected foliage for foliar nutrient analysis in December 2008 and 2009. So here's what the plots look like post thin. We also did some whole tree harvesting to examine resource nutrient allocation. We came in and actually were able to pull the trees right out of the ground and kept the majority of the root system intact. So we looked at stem, foliage, branches, and root biomass. And we also began indexing nutrient availability using the PRS ion exchange probes. We decided to use these root exclusion cylinders to really get an idea of what the gross nutrient availability is on these sites by treatment. So we minimize the amount of nutrient uptake by the trees by excluding the roots. And we basically rotated these cylinders around through time to kind of minimize disturbance effects with installing and removing the probes every 4 weeks. So as far as pre and post thinning results, as I mentioned before, initially all we saw were a tillage effect. We saw that the tilled plots had a significant volume response compared to the non-tilled plots. 1 year following thinning, we saw a significant forest floor effect on DBH growth at the at an alpha of 0.1. That's for the remainder of the talk, using an alpha of 0.1 as determinant on whether or not it was significant or not. So we saw that the double treatment had a significant growth response following thinning. However, after the 4 years since the study has been established, we still do not see a significant forest floor effect or tillage effect, but we're beginning to see trends that may suggest post-thinning that the double treatments may have a significant growth effect over the controlled and the removed, but the controlled and removed treatments still remain statistically similar. So in terms of the whole tree harvesting, here on the y-axis we have mass in grams, and you can see the various components of the tree. There were no differences across the treatments in terms of these various components, as well as in total tree biomass at this stage of stand development. The next set of slides will all be organized in this fashion. We have on the y-axis membrane sorbed nutrient ions, so micrograms per 10 centimeter squares surface area per 4 week incubation period. So in terms of nitrogen availability, we observed significant forest floor effects on total N availability. We saw that the double forest floor with and without mixing were significantly higher. So here I transformed the data into a cumulative N index to kind of separate out some of these trends. And you can see that the double forest floor treatment and the controlled forest floor treatments are beginning to separate themselves in terms of total nitrogen availability. In terms of phosphorus, we didn't see any differences across the sites. If you recall from the history slide, It had about 3 phosphorus fertilizations, so about 150 kilograms of phosphorus per hectare applied over the life of the previous rotation. So this is probably a result of a carryover effect from previous management. However, when we were looking through the data, we began to find some interesting things regarding some potential macronutrient deficiency concerns. If you recall from the slide that showed where the site was in eastern North Carolina, it's on the low Pamlico Terrace, so they're fairly young soils, fairly sandy soils compared to some of the others found in the lower coastal plain. We see that the calcium and magnesium availability began to drop in the removed treatments versus the double treatments. So it's something that we will look at. We did do some foliar analysis for pre versus post thin nutrient concentrations, and we saw that they're becoming borderline as far as being adequate for what is needed on this site. And I actually took some foliar analysis back in August of this year to kind of look at peak nutrient concentrations in the foliage, since these could have been a result of a dilution effect following thinning, as you have increased needle elongation and increased needle mass, you typically see a reduced level of nutrient concentrations. And we're still seeing that trend even in August when the trees were growing at full capacity, that there was still a potential calcium and magnesium deficiency in the removed treatments. So in summary, as I mentioned, we saw no overall effect on the forest floor and tillage treatments through the 4 growing seasons when we analyzed it through time. However, we are beginning to see a little bit of separation. We did see that significant growth response following thinning. So as we measure this year and the next couple years, based on the data that we're seeing, we expect perhaps that the double treatment separates itself. However, one important note is that the control and the removed treatments are still the same. So from an operational management perspective, there's no difference from our standard operations versus really pushing the site in terms of perhaps an intensive biomass management regime. We also saw no differences in the biomass partitioning. We did begin to observe a shift in that inavailability, which supports that post-harvest end dynamics. And as I mentioned, there was no phosphorus differences, and we'll continue to monitor calcium and magnesium for possible growth limitations. So what does this mean in terms of management implications? Well, as I mentioned, the removed treatment resembles an extreme intensive biomass harvesting regime. So we see that the controlled and the removed are identical. So even removing everything, including the forest floor, does not result in a reduced productivity at this time. Although we'd never removed the forest floor as we did in this experiment, things like intensive fertilization often increase forest floor mass, so that would be one way to get at that treatment. And then lastly, understanding underlying geology could have a direct management and management intensity in areas where nutrients other than N, P, and B are limiting. So we oftentimes focus on N, P, and B, and we've seen several presentations today that show over multiple rotations, as we perhaps extract more biomass for bioenergy or biofuel, that other nutrients may become more limiting. So it'll be important to monitor those as we move forward with bioenergy efforts. And that's all that I have. If there's any questions.